जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्वा जय पंचतत्वा जय पंचतत्वा जय नरसिंहदेव जय प्रहलाद महाराज नरसिंहदेव जय प्रहलाद महाराज जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद् इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ब्रह्म मत्व गौड़ी आचार्य वृंद की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय सामवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की जय तय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्ण All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 टाइटल द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन वी विल बी डूइंग वर्सेस 62-63 वर्स 63 इज ऑन द बोर्ड सो आई विल रीड द अदर वर्सेस बिफोर Text 60. O Vasudeva, you may take back your child and go home. I have no fear of your first child. It is the eighth child of you and Devaki I am concerned with, because that is the child by whom I am destined to be killed. Text 61. Vasudeva agreed and took his child back home, but because Kamsa had no character and no self-control, Vasudeva knew that he could not rely on Kamsa's word. Text 62-63. 63 is on the board. We will do that. Sarve vai devata praya Ubayor api bharata ज्ञात्यो बंधु सुकृतो ये च कंसम अनुव्रतः सर्वे वै देवता प्राया उभयोर अपि भारता ज्ञात्यो बंधु सुकृतो ye cha kamsam anuvrata sarve vai devata praya ubayor api bharata nyateo bandhu sukrito ye cha kamsam anuvrata Vaishnavis. Text 62. Nandadya e vraje gopa yascha misham cha yoshita vrishnayo vasudevadya devakyadya yadustriya. Translation. We will do word to word first. Nandadya. Kindly repeat. Nandadya. Beginning from Nanda Maharaj. Yea, all of which persons, Vraje, in Vrindavana, Gopa, the cowherd men, Ya, which, Cha, and Amisham, of all those inhabitants of Vrindavan, Cha, as well as Yoshita, the woman, Vrishnaya, members of the Vrishni family, Vasudeva Adya, headed by Vasudeva, Devaki Adya, headed by Devaki, Yadustriya, all the women of Yadu dynasty, Sarve, all of them, Vai, indeed, Devata Praya, were inhabitants of heaven, Ubayo, of both Nanda Maharaja and Vasudeva, Api, indeed, Bharata, O Maharaj Parikshit, Nyataya, the relatives, Bandhu, friends, Sukrida, well-wishers, yea, all of whom, Cha, and Kamsam, Anuvrata, even though apparently followers of Kamsa. Translation. Kindly repeat. The inhabitants of Vrindavana, headed by Nanda Maharaja and including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens of the heavenly planets. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the descendants of Bharata, and so too were the descendants of the Vrishni dynasty, headed by Vasudeva and Devaki and other women of the dynasty of Yadu. The friends, relatives and well-wishers of both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, and even those exactly appear to be followers of Kamsa, externally appear to be followers of Kamsa, were all demigods. Purport. As previously discussed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu informed Lord Brahma that Lord Krishna would personally descend to mitigate suffering on the earth. The Lord ordered all the denizens of the heavenly planets to take birth in different families of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties in Vrindavan. Now this verse informs us that all the family and friends of the Yadu dynasty, the Vrishni dynasty, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas descended from the heavenly planets to see the pastimes of the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord's pastime consists of paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, saving the devotees and killing the demons. To demonstrate these activities, the Lord called for devotees from different parts of the universe. There are many devotees who are elevated to the higher planetary systems. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva sashvata sama suchinam shrinmatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of pious living entities, is born into the family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Bhagavad Gita 6.41. Some devotees, having failed to complete the process of devotional service, are promoted to the heavenly planets to which the pious are elevated, and after enjoying there, they may be directly promoted to the place where Lord's pastimes are going on. When Lord Krishna was to appear, the denizens of the heavenly planets were invited to see the pastimes of the Lord, and thus it is stated here that the members of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties and the inhabitants of Vrindavan were demigods and almost as good as demigods. Even those who externally helped the activities of Kamsa belong to the higher planetary systems. The imprisonment and the release of Vasudeva and the killing of the various demons were all manifestations of the pastimes of the Lord. And because the devotees would be pleased to see these activities personally, they were all invited to take birth as friends and relatives of these families. As confirmed in the prayers of Kunti, Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Nato Natya Dharo Yata, the Lord has to play the part of a demon killer and a friend, son and brother to his devotees, and thus these devotees were all summoned. So we see that in text 60, Kamsa is telling Vasudev, "O Vasudev, you may take back your child and go home. I have no fear of your first child. It is the eighth child of you and Devaki I am concerned with, because that is the child by whom I am destined to be killed." So that is a real nice gesture that your offered Vasudev kept up his promise and he said, you know, here I have brought my first child. And Kamsa said, no, you don't have to give me this child, there's no danger, so, and it is, you can keep this child, I want only the 8th child. So that is a really nice gesture from Kamsa's side. And also in the wedding procession, he had to do self-defense, you know, when he heard that Devaki's child is going to be cause of his death, as a self-defense, he wanted to kill Devaki. And when Vasudev convinced him that he is going to bring all his children and submit to Kamsa for him to kill, then he became pacified and let go of her. So somebody is becoming self-defensive, then they accept your word, they give you trust, and when you bring the child back, they further trust you and they tell you, okay, you can take back, I'm not going to kill this child, like that. One is left wondering, you know, why would Kamsa be called a demon? You know, he's actually doing some really nice gestures here. So it is very difficult to see, like, you know, oh my God, if somebody was there, you know, if somebody comes and says, this kid is for you to kill or do whatever you want with him, and if I say, no, the kid can go back to the mom, it's supposed to be something good, right? So throughout Bhagavatam, we see that Kamsa is described as demoniac. So we have to understand what exactly is the criteria to classify someone as a devotee or a demon. So the answer is what they do when they are put in duress, when they have to face their ultimate fear, death. What somebody does, what is their response, decides what kind of person he or she is. So we will take two cases. We will analyze the case of Kamsa and we will analyze the case of Gajendra. Both of them were put through some hard time. They were forced to face their fear of death. And we will see how they responded to it. And we should know that this is not an isolated case study. The fear of death is something that each and every one of us has to face. It is just round the corner. Death is just round the corner. And somehow or other, people are trying to forget it. The sign says, don't worry, when you die, you're gone. There's nothing left after death. And then people try to drink and forget, and people watch movies or listen to music or do whatever they do to forget that reality that is somewhere back in their head, nagging. And but sometimes we are forced, you know, sometimes we get some jolt, and then we have a slight experience, we get a small fear, experience of the fear. I remember once as a young girl, I had severe chest pain, and it was such a fearful experience for me. I was in the bed and I was crying and I was telling, like, I'm going to die, I'm not going to live for long. And then the doctor came and I was very, very convinced that it's some kind of like a heart disease that was festering inside, and now suddenly it's out and I'm going to die and whatever else, you know. So, and then the doctor came and she checked and then she said, if you have some cold milk, you know, please give her some cold milk. So then I got some cold milk, and after that, I got relief from the chest pain within minutes. Apparently, it was just some gastric problem. There was some gas blocking the chest. But that fear was real. I just thought, I'm going to die. And after the incident happened, after some time when I got out of all of that, I was actually reflecting on what was my response to the fear. It's not something I'm very proud about, you know, it wasn't very Krishna conscious. I was just thinking about all the loose ends and all the things I wanted to do and so on and so forth. So that fear is there in everyone, and the Lord arranges that we are put through some hard situations and then it comes forcefully upon us. And then we all have to respond. So we will look at the case of Gajendra and we will look at the case of Kamsa. So Kamsa had his situation set. Kamsa could not trust anyone. In this verse we can see that everybody, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd people, his own brother-in-law Vasudev, his own sister, cousin sister, but as good as his own sister, and all the people born in Vrishni dynasty, Yadu dynasty, the leader of the dynasty's own father, and even his own most confidential associates. Apparently they were all friends of Vishnu. And Vishnu is the one who's going to come as eighth child and kill him. So Kamsa had his setup where he had to face a whole group of people whom he could not trust. He just experienced distrust. He could not have trust on any side. It was distrust in all directions. And then we look at the case of Gajendra. Gajendra had his duress set up for him. On that day when he was attacked by crocodile, they were passing through this forest of sugar cane. And he overdid with eating sugar cane. So he was, you know, when you drink too much sugar cane, you become intoxicated. So when you become intoxicated, you're very weak physically, mentally, your brain doesn't work. In all platforms, you become weak. And he was in water, which is his weak zone. And the crocodile was in water also, which is his strong zone. And as expected, all the she-elephants, he had thousands of she-elephants, wives. And none of them stayed behind to help him. All of them ran away. So Gajendra had his setup that forced a response from him. And Kamsa had his setup that forced a response from him. So now we are going to see how they respond. When somebody is demoniac, they will adopt some artificial means to challenge death. They will go against the law of nature to overcome this fear. So both of them, Kamsa and Gajendra, they both were very afraid. And they both wanted to overcome fear. They both wanted to overcome death. But Gajendra was the one who was actually able to overcome the fear because he surrendered to the Lord. And Kamsa, even though he artificially did so many things to protect himself, because of his lack of surrender to the Lord, he was in constant anxiety. He was in constant distress. So the next question arises about the role of all these devotees who are present around Kamsa. Narada is coming. Kamsa was very peaceful. He said, okay, you just take your baby and go home, you know. And it wasn't to be like that. Narada comes. And he said, do you know what is the story behind? Do you know who you are? Do you know who these kids are? Do you have any idea what is it? What are you doing, Kamsa? How can you decide like this, you know? So Krishna does not let the thing settle down. And that is how it is going to be for all of us. We just think, okay, I made this setup and now this is going to work well for me. And then there will be some stirring. They say, oh, you think you're settled down here? Now what are you going to do? I'm just going to mix up some more for you, you know. Now what are you going to do? So there will be constantly situations where things become more and more agitating to our mind. And when we come across pure devotees, they actually are the mirrors who reflect our true state of mind. And that is why every time Kamsa would see Vasudev, Vasudev agreed and took his child back home. But because Kamsa had no character and no self-control, Vasudev knew that he could not rely on Kamsa's word. So seeing Vasudev, a pure devotee, who's a mirror, only reminds Kamsa of his impending death. Associating with Narad, who is a pure devotee, reminds Kamsa of his real situation. So pure, the pure devotees, the role of pure devotees in our life is that in their presence we can see ourselves. You know, I have heard many times devotees talking about how Srila Prabhupada's, when Prabhupada was seeing them, it was like penetrating through them and he was actually able to see their soul. And many of us might have had that experience with our spiritual master. You may just go with whatever fluff and whatever fakeness you have, but when you go in front of your spiritual master, in front of your authorities, they help you see who actually you are. And they can show you, you're doing this service for name, fame, glory, whatever, or I can see that there is some sincerity in you. When you see them, you see yourself. You know, in their association, you can understand yourself better. And that is the role of all these great devotees who come in Kamsa's life. They show back to him, this is your situation. How are you going to react? How are you going to react? How are you going to react? And Kamsa showed that he is demoniac by responding in a very demoniac way, by challenging and killing innocent children and arresting his brother-in-law and sister and sending small, sending demons to kill small children in Vrindavan, you know. So he took the wrong path, you know, and that is why Kamsa is considered a demon. And on the other hand, Gajendra, who sought the help of Lord, who remembered all the verses he had learnt in his previous birth, he recites all of those prayers and calls for Lord's help and accepts the situation as Lord's mercy. He is considered a devotee, and the Lord in fact comes and saves him from the danger. So in this verse, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about a very important aspect of Krishna's pastime in bringing about the reality of death, the fear of death in the heart of many people. Krishna is described as Nato Natya Dharo Yata. Nato means actor. Natya Dharo means he is taking up a role. When there is the actor and he takes up some role. There's this famous actor who is acting. The movie itself is called Mission Impossible. You know, and if you see throughout the movie, he does things which are really impossible. He's hanging upside down and picking up stuff, and there is a, you know, he's fighting so many rogues in one shot, and within few seconds you will see he's just there in another country with like a neatly pressed t-shirt and cooling glasses and riding in a, you know, and I mean, if English is that much, if you look in Hindi or Tamil movies, you know, the Indian ones, they are like really like impossible movies. You know, the hero will just stamp his foot and like 20 villains will all fly and fall 10 meters away. And then within few minutes, he will be dancing with some beautiful lady who has like a matching costume with him. And then suddenly, tens of other ladies will come and they'll all have some choreographed dancing going on. And then they will be on the rainbow dancing. And then they will be in the rain and another dress and dancing. You know, if you look at it, it is really not it is not at all possible. And who is he? He's like some kind of rickshaw driver or something. You know? And if you try to make some kind of sensible understanding of all these things, it will really not be possible to understand all these things. But we see that people are very fond of these impossible missions. People are naturally, in South India, we have temples for movie actresses and actors. They will do milk abhishek, they will offer archan, puja, you know, they'll do 108 names and whatever. They have all these kind of things going on because it is inherent, it is natural for us, for the soul, to be attracted to activities which are impossible to be performed in this material realm. It is the nature of the soul to be attracted to those activities of Krishna which are really you cannot comprehend those activities. So Srila Prabhupada, when he is writing about this action of Krishna, Nato Natyadhara, he is explaining how all the activities in that purport, he says, you know, everything he does in Vrindavan, in Mathura, these are all things that people normally cannot do. And none of it is fake. You cannot fakely have, there will be no rasa there. I know of a mother and she had a daughter. So this daughter got a tea set. Yeah? So, so you pour some water and you just sit and you drink and you talk and it's a way girls play. So this girl asked her mom, you know, because she was so excited about the tea set, almost every day during the playtime, that was the game she wanted to play. I want to drink tea. So you go around pouring water and drinking. And the mom was like, you know, oh my God, what is this? You know, she couldn't relate to that childish play of, you know, pouring water in cup and drinking and thinking that it's tea and having a chat and so on. So one day the mother decides that she's going to make it real for the daughter. So she made some real chamomile, she got some cookies, and she laid out the table very beautifully. And instead of being switched off from the game, you know, she actually participated. She had a good chat with her daughter. She talked. She had a real connection. So whatever time she spent with her child, it was not looking at the watch. When will the playtime be over? When will I ask her to go to bed? I don't know. I can't relate to this childish game. Instead of doing that, she actually started playing with the child. They had real tea and real cookies and real chat. And then both the mother and daughter, they remember that as one of the most pleasant times they spent with each other. And that is how it is with Krishna's pastime. Krishna does not fake anything, because when you fake, then you don't get that taste. People can sense it. Every friendship, every relation, when you don't have a sincere connection with that person, you will also perceive and the other person will also perceive that it is fake. And when it is fake, there's no mellow there. So whatever Krishna does, he was punching Kamsa and strangling him, or he felt afraid of Mother Yashoda and he was running and she was holding the stick. Every relationship, every emotion that Krishna had was real. And if it was not real, then devotees would not relish that mellow. So Krishna is the absolute actor. He's a perfect actor. And his pastimes are the most attractive. And the proof is, we can see that we are attracted to such impossible, humanly not possible, superhuman activities, which are similar to the pastimes of Krishna, which are projected on movies. And different heroes play that role. So I'm going to read the purport, some part of the purport. This Nato Natya Dharayata is prayer of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti glorifies Krishna that when he wants to perform pastimes, he puts up that role, he takes up that role and nobody can identify him. It really looks like Krishna is very afraid of his mother. He's a very submissive son who's carrying his father's shoes on his head. It really looks like he's so mad at the demons and he's punching and taking the life out of them with each of his beating. So this is Prabhupada writes, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. Asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord himself appears amongst us as Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, or his original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Krishna exhibited his humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying on the lap of his mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and he sucked out her very life also. Similarly, he lifted the Govardhan hill, just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella, and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like Puranas, Itihasas and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities like Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanujacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati and all other authorities of the line. He himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet, there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Krishna even when he was present before them. And that is how Kamsa is classified as a demon, because he could not recognize Krishna even though Krishna was standing right in front of him. Kamsa was sending one after another so many demons and Krishna was killing all of them. Still Kamsa could not come to this understanding that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's because of his poor fund of knowledge and because of the lot of bad karma he has accumulated. And Srila Prabhupada calls Bhagavad Gita also, they call mudha, you know, unintelligent people. They even Krishna comes and stands in front of them, they will not accept Krishna because their heart is envious. When they see the movie, they project themselves as that hero, and they will subtly enjoy. And you see, you know, they go to shops and buy Superman costume, Iron Man costume, or if the Indian ladies, you know, if some heroine is wearing some nice sari in some movie, everybody will want to go and buy that sari because they want to be that great person. They want to be that enjoyer. They don't want to acknowledge that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the one who deserves all the credit. He is the one who can do actually superhuman activities. And devotees, on the other hand, they are more than happy. Even if Krishna puts them in a situation that they have to stay near demoniac people like Akrur. He was one of the minister-like people for Kams. But he is a great devotee of Lord. And he was there waiting to see all the wonderful pastimes. They don't mind whatever situation they are. Their inclination to glorify these superhuman activities of the Lord, and wherever possible, their inclination is to assist him in whichever way they can. So to summarize, both devotees and demons and everybody in between, including all of us, we are all put through duress. And it is a test to see what is our true nature. Demons, they've tried to fight it against the will of Lord, and they despise his pure representatives, and they desire to perform all the wonderful activities of Lord, like they want to go to heaven, they make a ladder to go to heaven, they put artificial hands. Say, I am Vishnu, I am Krishna, this is my Sudarshan. You know, they want to become like God and perform superhuman activities like him. Devotees, on the other hand, they actually pass this test. They are the ones who really pass this test by surrendering to the will of the Lord. And they are enchanted by the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. And wherever possible, they are more than happy to assist the Lord in these beautiful pastimes. And that's how we differentiate between, that's how we classify Kamsa as a demon and Gajendra as a devotee of the Lord. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class, Mataji. Very nice class. I had one little doubt about the classification of a demigod, of a devotee and a demon. You see that Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is also trying to resist one of the reasons, the many causes he wants to resist. One of the reasons is fear of death. And therefore Krishna says that either you win the kingdom on earth and then you enjoy the earth, or you will win the war and you will enjoy, you lose the war and you will enjoy in heaven. So then Arjuna is supposed to be a devotee, but then he's also not understanding Krishna.
Arjuna
Hatova Prabhasis Vargam Jitwava Bhakshemahim, that verse Krishna quotes, indicating that he had fear for death.
Arjuna wasn't actually afraid of dying. Fear, Arjuna was not afraid to die in the battlefield. He did not want to fight because he felt compassion for his relatives. He did not find it right. His fear was not of death. His fear was that there might be some sinful reaction. Your Guru Maharaj is there on opposite side, and your grandfather is there, and then they come and say, come on, shoot an arrow, let's see, you know, you have to kill, that's my will. If Krishna would say that, how can he say, I will kill my Guru Maharaj and my grandfather, you know? So he was afraid not of, his fear was not that he will die, his fear was, he said, unarmed, I will stand and let them kill me, or I will go and beg in forest, you know? So he was not afraid to be of death, but he was afraid that if he shoots arrows on his grandfather and his Guru Maharaj, Dronacharya, then he will go to hell. His fear was for sinful reaction. And he had compassion for the Kauravas. He felt sad. You know, they are aggressors. They are bad people. They have done all kind of, you know, there are six kind of aggressors. You know, they have done all of it. You know, you want to abduct one's wife, one's property, set fire, and using deadly weapons. The six, I can't seem to remember all of that from top of my head. But they did all of that and more. And I said, that is because they are like that, Krishna. I am not like that. So I don't want, I feel sorry for them. Even though they are like that, I don't want to fight. So he was showing his very soft heart as a devotee, and he was showing his fear of sin. And Krishna's counter argument for that was, when you don't, you are a Kshatriya. So if you don't do your duty, that is real sin. So if you kill your grandfather and everybody, then and you win in the war, you will become the king of the world, and then that is a happy situation. But in the war, if you get killed, because you did your duty and in the process you got killed, when you go to heaven, then you will go to heaven and you will be happy there. So then it is win-win for you. Arjuna's argument was, I don't want to kill because it's sin. Krishna's counter argument was, if you don't kill them, it is a sin. So that is why, and that is how, that was the context in which Krishna was saying that was. I hope it's okay, Prabhu.
It's okay. The other one, about the movies you mentioned, I think most of us, we grow up with Indian movies, Bollywood movies, maybe Tollywood, nowadays it's even Mollywood. Being a student in college, I always wondered why it is so dreamy like in movies, like you mentioned, dancing on the rainbow and things like that. This question was actually asked by a film group from Europe, that these Indian movies, why do they have so much dance and songs in it? So the Indian understanding of movies was that movies are meant to relax, to get out of the disturbance of material society for some time, that you are in another reality. That's why they do that. But if you look at American movies, they try to make the reality even worse. If you look at American movies like the Terminator or Star Wars or things like that, it is what they're hoping for to achieve in the future through technology, but then you see what it will be like. It will be worse. So the Indian, like you mentioned, the Indian movies are based on Natya, Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra, which is meant for to give an outlet for emotions. Yes, so this is what they were saying, I mean the Bollywood people, that we're making these movies for people to get rid of their frustration. It's an anti-stress idea. That you're in Swarga for some time, you can dance on the planets, and you have all these angels around you, which are the actresses. That's what it's meant for. It is a dream, they know it's a dream, but it's like for an anti-stress, an outlet for frustration. That's what, you know, what they were saying about it. That's what I understood.
I remember this story from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He writes these tiny, tiny stories. No? So in one of the stories, there's this boy with a boil. And then all the different people, you know, one auntie is fanning, one relative is blowing, and you know, so they're all trying to give him some relief from this reality. And then finally the doctor comes and he takes the knife and cuts it, and you know, and that's the treatment, you know. So it is true that the movies are kind of giving us some kind of relief from material distress, but what is actually better, you know, what is actually better is instead of teaching them how to escape this reality, like temporarily escape this reality, we can teach them how to permanently escape this material reality, how to permanently overcome birth, death, and then the movie can be a very powerful medium. You know, instead of doing all these fictional things, if you can do some real story of how Krishna, you know, like Krishna's Leela, Ram Leela, and a lot of romance is there, Krishna, Aniruddha and Usha, big romantic story, you know, everything is there. So if they can take those pastimes, then we are not fanning the bubble, we are actually using the media to cut and treat the... So if you have that influence, you can encourage them to do that. Thank you. As Prabhu over there.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you for your class. I just wanted to ask a question regarding one of the descriptions you gave, what differentiates a demon from a devotee. Again, going back to the point about fear of death. I was wondering, wouldn't it be a bit too simplistic to say that being afraid of death is what makes one a demon? Would it not be better to say that it's what you do due to your fear of death that makes you a demon rather than being afraid of death?
Yes, Prabhu. Actually, both of them were afraid of death. Kamsa was afraid of death. Mm-hmm. And Gajendra was also afraid of death. And both of them wanted to overcome that fear. But what they do to overcome the fear is what classifies them as devotee or demon. Kamsa started fighting against the desires of Lord. Gajendra, on the other hand, surrendered. So the fear of death is in everybody's heart. We will all face exactly the same situation like Kamsa and Gajendra. We are all just round the corner. We are all going to face it. But how we are going to respond to it is what will help us is what is going to classify us as devotee or demon. Thank you for clarifying that. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.